ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वपदेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवाया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे सदामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नस्तदृशं मेष प्राणर्कौ दुनोदितः
Text 3.
Na me mana pamanausto na chinta geha putrinam atma krida atmaratir vichalami habalavat na me mana pamanausto Na chinta geha putrinam Atma kira atmaratir Vicharami habhalavat Name mana pahasto Na chinta geha putrinam Atma kira atmaratir Viratna miha bhalava. Na chinta geha putrina Atma kira atma ratir Vichalami havalava Vaishnavis Namanatmanasto Nachintage haputina Atma kira atma ratir Vichalami havalava Name mana pamanasto Na chinta geha putrinam Atma kira aparatir Vicharami havalavat Na
Na
Me In me Mana
Ana
Apamana
Dishonor.
Stuff.
Exist.
No.
There is not.
Chinta.
Anxiety.
Geha.
Of those who have a home.
Putrinam.
And children.
Atma.
By the self.
Kridha.
Sporting.
Atma.
In the self alone.
Pratihi.
Enjoying.
Icharami.
I wander.
Iha.
In this world.
Balabat.
Like a child. In family life, the parents are always in anxiety about their home, children, and reputation. But I have nothing to do with these things. I do not worry at all about any family and I do not care about honor and dishonor. I enjoy only the life of the soul, and I find love on the spiritual platform. Thus I wander the earth like a child. Any questions? I love this. This is my verse. In family life, the parents are always in anxiety about their home, children, and reputation. Isn't that the way it is? This is Krishna, isn't it? This is the child. This is the, what's it? Avadhoot Brahman is explaining this stuff, but this is the guru of the child who walks the earth. The next, here, listen to this next verse. Dvav eva chintaya mukta, we can do this together tomorrow. Dvav eva chintaya mukta paramananda pluto yo vimukto jado balo yo gune vya param gataha. In this world, two types of people are free from all anxiety and merged in great happiness. One who is a retarded, childish fool, and one who has approached the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the three modes of nature. Purport. Those who fervently seek material sense gratification are gradually pushed down into a miserable condition of life, because as soon as one even slightly violates the laws of nature, one must suffer sinful reactions. Thus, even materially alert, ambitious persons are constantly in anxiety, and from time to time they're plunged into great misery. Those who are nonsensical and retarded, however, live in a fool's paradise, and those who have surrendered to Lord Krishna are filled with transcendental bliss. Therefore, both the fool and the devotee may be said to be peaceful in the sense that they are free from the ordinary anxiety of material ambitious persons. However, this does not mean that the devotees and the retarded fools are on the same platform. A fool's peace is like that of a dead stone, whereas a devotee's satisfaction is based on perfect knowledge. It's like they said, there's two kinds of heroes, the renunciate and the vishayi, the sense enjoyer. Chaksurun miditam jina tasmai sri gurubhena namaha. Namasheshtam varamapi sachi putram atrasarupam rupam tasya gurujam varuparim bhakturim gostavati. Radha kundam girivaramaho radhikamaravashya. Prapto jasya pratiti pripaya sri guru tanganatosme. Divyango divyavachano divyaloka vilokitaha sarvopamo nirupamo goloka kikritanjanaha. I just came back to Alachua. I was gone for a week. I didn't want to go, but my family got together and ganged up on me, and it's my mother's sister, my dear Aunt Betty. She's 95 years old. So we're trying to figure out what to do with her. She has an apartment, but she's clear. She's not senile. But her knees and her hips, and you know, she can't move around very well. So, of course, we're trying to convince her that maybe she should be in an assisted living area where people could help her. And, you know, tell an old Irish woman this, they get so angry. No one's going to take care of me. No one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to feed me. I'm independent. So, you know, we go up there. I said, I can't go. I can't afford to go. My brother says, come on, we're paying for it. Just come on up here. We need you. So I went up like a fool. But it was kind of interesting, because I did a lot of preaching. Of course, I brought my book bag so I could do some sankirtan along the way. But this poor woman, she's so unhappy because in 95 years, she's got family. She's got 19 grandchildren. And she doesn't even know them. No one comes to see her. No one cares about her. It makes you cry. It's hell. I mean, this is the way we treat our parents when they get old. I mean, last year, Americans spent $50 billion on pets. $50 billion they spent on pets. You got to have that kitty litter. You know, we want to have kitty litter because when you take your cat's droppings and coat it in kitty litter and put it in the dump, it lasts. It has a shelf life for 80,000 years or something. You just discovered that this kitty litter is a big mistake because it presents, whatever. It's just a little example of how topsy-turvy everything is. You can't even take your kids to the dentist unless you make $100,000 a year, and people are spending $50 billion on their pets. So they're treating their dogs and their cats better than they are their own parents. Anyway, so we get there, and Betty's like, oh, you're here, I'm so glad you're here, get me out of here, let's go. And the one son, he's 10 years older than me, the guy that has anything to do with her, he says, no, she's old and fragile, don't take her anywhere. And Betty's like, my doctor gave me this walker, damn it, we're going out. And you can't argue with Betty. So there's all my brothers and sisters and Betty, we're like, okay, we're going out. So we go out, and she lives an hour from Niagara Falls, but never seen it at night, right? So it's all right, we're taking Niagara, we'll see the falls, blah, blah. But whenever you go anywhere with non-devotees, it's like the main thing they do is go to restaurants. You ever notice that? That's all people do. I know in my life, my father was in business and traveled a lot. All he did, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, he was at a restaurant. And you know, after years, you know, they find out where all the good restaurants are. So that's all they do. When you get together, you got to go to a restaurant. You know, and I hate restaurants. I mean, mostly because they're just dirty. I mean, even if you go to a vegetarian restaurant, even a vegan restaurant, and you look around, if you look around, you'll see that it's not clean. And of course, they're not offering it to Krishna. So anyway, so you end up at a restaurant. That's all you ever do with these people. Whenever you're going somewhere, it's lunchtime. We got to eat. So we're at the stupid restaurant, right? Poor Aunt Betty's eating some bread, and she gets it caught in her throat. Honestly, I was sitting at this four-star restaurant, and she starts choking to death. My sister immediately, Kathy was a lifesaver. She was a lifeguard, and she managed the daycare, so she had to be certified in lifesaver. So she jumps over, and she looks at Betty, and her face is turning blue. So she pulls her tongue out, and then she jumps around behind and does the Heimlich, you know, and boom. And Betty breathes again. Oh, and the first thing she says is, I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. I threw up at the table. And we're all like, geez. And then she turns to me and she goes, thank God Danny was here. And me and Jimmy, I remember each other. I said, what are you talking about? Kathy did it. She goes, no, it was you. And Kathy's like, you were chanting. Because I stood up and I just went, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Because what are you going to do? And I'm like, she's going to die right here in the restaurant, right in front of everybody. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Meanwhile, the staff of the restaurant's cowering in the corner, wondering what the heck's going to happen next, right? Anyway, so she recovers. This is the kind of leela you have as soon as you leave the Association of Devotees. This is what's going on out there. They're worshiping the dog. I was listening last night, Prabhupada, 1968 in Montreal. And he said, they have given up worship of God and they have taken to worship of dog. And then he was talking about, what did he say? He said, Iha Yasya, he quoted the verse, Rupa Goswami's, Iha Yasya Hare Dasya Kamana Manasaya. And he said, Iha means endeavor. And he said, so what is the endeavor of the Krishna conscious society? Can anybody guess? What is it? Parobhakara, that's right. Prabhupada said, the endeavor of the Krishna conscious society is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Why? He said, because Krishna wants it. And he said, just like when the man's son goes crazy and leaves, the father suffers more than the son. So Prabhupada said, Krishna wants us back. So he takes his time. He comes, he sends representatives, he leaves his books. So all these things are done to get his kids back that are all blue. They all became hippies and came to the material world to try to enjoy it. And Krishna's saying, oh, please come home. He wants us back. And he's so kind and he loves us so much that he goes with us wherever we go. Krishna's in your heart. So you have to become in these situations. Like I was talking to Vaish last night. He's like, boy, that was really nice of you to go up there and help your aunt. And I was like, no, I wasn't like that. They made me do it. And since I had to do it, you know, you got to preach to them. What else are you going to do, you know? But at one point, somebody said, so we were talking about her dying, because she's talking about, well, you know, I'm 95, I'll be dead soon. And someone said, well, are you going to see Bunk? My mom, her sister. And she said, no, I'm not going to see her, because I'm not going there. I'm going to the other place. And my sister said, Betty, what are you talking about? And Betty said, I'm a Catholic, and I don't go to church, so I have to go to hell.
like, oh God. So I had to preach to her about that for a while. She can't get, I've been giving this woman books forever. She's very nice. She came to the temple in Detroit about 40 years ago. And she came to the temple and went to the Sunday feast and saw the deities and went to the kirtan. And then she sat and ate prasadam with us and she loved it. I gave her books and then she never said anything else about it, you know. And then just recently when she was a little sick and she thought she was going to die, I gave her Beyond Birth and Death. And I said, Betty, just look at the cover. Look at that. There's hope. You, this body dies, you get another body. It'll be better. And, you know, because she's a Catholic, even though. It's funny, because when she said that, my son, Denise, said, well, if she believes that, well, why doesn't she just go to church? It's like an hour a week. You know, it wouldn't kill you. It's bizarre. It's another weird thing. Her daughter, who I know, we couldn't get around to answer our calls, but her daughter goes to church at the Catholic church directly across the street from her mother's apartment building every Sunday and never, ever goes to see her for 40 years. It's Kali Yuga. I thought it was, I mean, you know, you think your life or your situation, your family's all screwed up until you see somebody else's stuff. And when you get a glimpse into that, you're just like, oh my God. And the thing with Betty, she remembers everything. So she'll tell us old pastimes of when we were kids and what we did. But in the middle of the pastime, she'll, oh, I wanted to kill him that day. And oh, he was so mean to me. She's got all this angst in her heart, you know. So I was telling her, just take it easy. We're playing. I'm trying to play bhajans. Here's something nice. Kathy put the pavitra from Mayapur on her and put a Harinam chowder on her and said, okay, you're going to start choking and dying on us. We got to cover this, you know. So we gave her prasadam, of course. I was cooking. And she loves, I know what she likes, so I make her sweet potatoes and make her things. I also brought ghee with me. This is the key. You fry anything in ghee. These people need a dog bone if you fried it in ghee. All you got to do is say, here, eat this. And they're like, what is that smell? It smells good in here. What is it? I just eat it. And they're eating. They come back in the kitchen. Oh, what is this? I mean, it was a simple subject with fried potatoes and some stuff. I made some chutney and some dal and rice. It was just a simple thing. But they were like, wow, what is this? So that's what you do. Because it's hard to talk to them about this kind of stuff. You know, it's almost impossible. So you have to just give them prasadam. And I was really nice to her when I preached to her, but she was, I felt so sorry for her because she's so sincere, but at the same time, we're so stubborn. People in the souls in this material world, the conditioned souls are so stubborn, they don't want to surrender. They don't want to make a step. And according to Bhagavatam, we're supposed to be karunika, Tatikshava, right? Tatikshava, tolerant. Karunika, merciful. And Suhrida Sarvadehinam, we're supposed to be friends of every living entity. And the only way you can express that love and that friendship is by helping the other jivas. Because every jiva is on their headlong glide to hell because that's all there is. They're eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Some of them go to church, but it's not helping them. Some of them, I mean, there's so many people out here that they're fixed in their way of life. And Krishna consciousness is a way to find the way of life. The way of life with Radha Krishna, Gaurinitai. And Prabhupada has given us so many. This is a nice thing. Vaish told me this last night. The Prabhupada told this to a devotee many, many years ago. The devotee's question was he was confused about his schedule and how to do things to fit in his work and his life and all the things that he does. And Prabhupada said, it's very simple. Four things. Sadhana, seva, health. Actually, health he put at the top. Health, sadhana, service, and the fourth one, read. Prabhupada said, if you don't read these books, you won't understand. And if they just did this thing at Harvard because they want to know why some people seem happier than others. The truth is most people aren't happy. Some people are less miserable than others. But Harvard got together with their brains and they figured out, and you're never going to believe this, why people are happy. It came down to love. Of course, what is love? No one knows. But love, and they qualify that as saying, the quality of our individual relationships determines our happiness. And they said, it doesn't matter if you have a lot of friends. It doesn't matter. What matters is the quality of the relationship. And I thought, that's right. What's your relationship like? What's the quality with Prabhupada? What's your quality of your relationship with Krishna? You know, that's the relationship that we have to get our we got to get our relationships together. Because in the material world, the material relationships are just based on sense gratification. The prophet says it over and over, you serve me and I'll serve you. And as soon as there's some little bit lacking, then they run off. And that's why there's so much divorce. But the prophet says, surrender to Krishna, health, sadhana, service, and read. And if you participate in the hearing process, sometimes I wonder how long it's going to take, because I've been hearing and chanting for a long time, and it seems like a long time. Really, you know, 40-some years is not a long time in the sojourn of our lives. But it seems like a long time to be doing the same thing over and over again, the japa, the reading, the sadhana, the seva. But somehow or other, through it all, I always feel like I'm with Prabhupada. I always feel like Prabhupada is with me. He's trying to help me. Just like when we were driving, we had to take some stuff up there, so my sister and I drove. It's about 700 miles, whatever it is. We were coming back, and we were just outside of Gettysburg, and Kathy was like, I wish there was a temple around here. And I said, well, you know, there's a new temple in Catonsville over in Baltimore, so, you know, we Googled it. And the voice on my phone said, Catonsville Hare Krishna Temple is 108 minutes. We're like, what? Kathy's like, 108 minutes? Let's go. So we hung the left on 70 and just boom, we just floated right into Catonsville and saw Radha Madhava. We got there for Pajama Darshan. Right before they opened the deities, this sweet lady, I can't remember her name, came up and said, Prabhus, we have prasadam. So they gave us maha prasadam. You know, we just got out of the car. We were in the car for 7 hours or 8 hours, whatever it was. We were taking prasadam, and then we saw Radha Madhava and had a kirtan. It was like, man, it was nice. I mean, because what I noticed, and I've noticed this forever, is that the non-devotees, they don't have a program. They don't have a schedule. They don't have, unless they have to go to work or they get fired, or unless they're going to get some sense gratification. Like, they have a couple of things that motivates them, they'll do that. But generally, when they get up in the morning, they don't have, especially when they're on vacation, because I really only see my family when they're on vacation, so it's even worse. Some of them don't even take a shower in the morning. I'm on vacation, I'm not shaving, I'm taking a shower, I'm busy. What? Eating. They get up, eat. Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to breakfast? Come on. That's their whole thing. Devotee gets up in the morning, at least he's supposed to get up in the morning and think, Hare Krishna, because I know when I wake up in the morning, it's like, last night the dream was that I was in this, the temple was full, I mean packed, like Janmashtami, and I was going, wow, he's here, she's, everybody's here, I can't believe it, who's giving class? And they said, Divyanga, and I was like, what? I was looking around, they had exalted devotees here, and I was like, this can't be right. And then I woke up, and I was like, and it was 4:10. But the thing is that Prabhupada wants us to engage in his mission. He came here, left Vrindavan, and he started this thing to give us a facility to come and hear and chant together. And as soon as you get out of this, I mean, when I get out of it to go in Sankirtan, it's different. I'm out there, I got books in my bag, I'm preaching to people, it's different. But when you just go out there, you know, for who knows whatever reason, you know, next thing you know, you're like acting like a tourist, you know, you're looking at the Niagara Falls, which is pretty. I like Niagara Falls. I'm from there. I've seen it a million times. But we're sitting there going, hey, Betty, what are you going to do when you die? Stuff like that, because we just wanted her to address it. And she was totally cool about it. She's not worried about dying. She's worried about the last few years. And she loves to watch TV. So the poor thing, she hears all the politics and all the news and all that stuff, and it just makes her even more miserable. So we're trying to tell her, don't listen to the TV, listen to this. You know, we put on a bhajan or something spiritual, try to help her. But the devotees work on this every day. This is called sadhana. The bhakti yogi, he practices, how can I remember him every day? How can I think of the Lord every day? So what's he do? He chants his names. He does some service. He comes to Krishna's temple. I wonder what it'd be like, you know, if you get here in the morning and there's nobody here. You know, and you gotta do the puja, you gotta cook, you gotta clean, you gotta get all the paraphernalia ready for the arti, you gotta lead the kirtan and give the class. I kinda know what that was like because I did it for a while in Orlando, you know. And I'm here to tell you, you know, you do it, but it isn't the same. When you come in here and I have my devotee association, I look around, I see Vaishnavas, I'm like, yeah, I'm safe. This is a safe place. Prabhupada created this safe environment so devotees can come together and hear and chant and make spiritual advancement. So once you do that, once you got that going, Prabhupada says, now take that and take it out and save the others that haven't got it. And it's just, it's so strange because people's love, which is really not love, it's lust, is so strong. I mean, it's the most powerful thing. Just like my sister Kathy has a dog. And we left the dog with a friend. And she's on the phone calling that dog a few times a day. I'm not kidding. And I'm like, it's a dog. You know what I mean? Now, that dog's having fun over at Melanie's house because Melanie has a puppy and a cat and they all play and she's got all kinds of dog toys. And you know, it's dog worship. And you can't, I mean, you see him and you think, if you could take a little of that dog love and just give a little of it to Krishna. And you can still have a dog. Shivananda Sen had a dog. There was a dog in the household of Sarvamana Bhattacharya. And the Lord said, everyone in your family is dear to me. Even the dog in your family is dear to me. So I'm not, you know, I mean, jai dog. Good boy. Fetch. Just don't let him in the house. And they got fleas. They poop all over. They peel. It's disgusting. But they love this love. I just couldn't. It was unbelievable. I'm chanting japa and I'm reading. I took Shama Sundar's book with me. Anybody read that book?
Yeah.
Shama Sundar's book. Wow. I thought I was a hippie till I read that. I wasn't a hippie. I was a neophyte. I was just an apprentice. But one, many things were amazing. But one of those things in the very beginning when they're in San Francisco and they're like, we should get the Swami out here. And Makuna says, well, we don't have a temple. And Sam goes, well, we'll get a temple. And that's what they did. They went and they found a place. They rented it, right? And they painted some stuff. Hare Krishna, they called New York, said, we got a temple. They were still involved in all kinds of weird activities. But they took this, Iha, and they took that. They endeavored. And look what happened. I mean, he was hanging out with he was connected with those kind of people. You know, that, and I'd heard these stories, little bits and pieces, but when you sit there and read it, it just blows your mind, you know. Who are you? Who are these people? Prabhupada needed help to spread the mission, and he got these people. Krishna sent him and said, here, this guy can do this, this guy can do this, and this guy can do this, and boom, boom, boom. And they just did it. It amazed me, because when I came, everything was already there. You know, they had the schedule, they had the books, you know what I mean? And you were in Maya, if you weren't in the program, on the schedule, and reading the books, and doing some service. It was apparent. But back then, nobody really knew anything. They came back to New York with red beads on their neck, and they handed him a joint. He goes, no, Swami said no intoxication. And Shama Sundar faints. He's like, are you kidding? We got some good acid. Don't you want something? You know, he's like, no intoxication, no meat. And they couldn't, they were just like, huh? He's, what? But Prabhupada was so powerful. They were just with him for a little while, and then they came out to San Francisco, and they started ISKCON in San Francisco. It's just unbelievable. And then, of course, you know, we know the story. Then they go to England and meet the Beatles, of course. What else would you do? What else would Shama Sundar do? Well, Prabhupada wants to temple in London. Well, we'll go to London. Hey, the Beatles are there. They'll probably like it. Meanwhile, the Beatles were listening to the record. They had, we didn't know this, but they had ordered a dozen of those records. And John and George were chanting Hare Krishna, listening to that, just waiting. And Krishna has a plan. We don't know what it is. We don't see anything. But Krishna has a plan. Somehow or other, we're in this thing. And I always think that when I come here, just like when I come here, all I got to do is get here. You know, stumble in here, and everything's all being done. Thank you, Prabhus. Thank you, all the pujaris, all the devotees who are so dedicated. That's all you do is seva. Sadhana, seva. These things are important. And no matter what else is going on in your life, and I can see the example from these young devotees that joined Prabhupada, they had all kinds of issues. But they added a little seva, a little sadhana, and boom! The next thing you know, there's a Hare Krishna movement all over the world with temples and farms and schools and restaurants and zillions of books. It's unbelievable. It's one of the first stops we made up And Carolina was at Lucy's house, a friend of my sister's. And I was in the shower getting ready to go, and she was helping Kathy pack the car, and she saw my Gita, and she grabbed the Gita, and she told me, said, my Gita got flooded, and I need another one. And she's standing there, and she said, this is reading Gita for the trip? And Kathy said, I'm sure it is, but he'll be so happy that you asked for it, he'll be glad to get. So I come out of the shower, and Lucy's standing there with the Gita. She goes, is there any way I could get one of these? I got it, let me think about it. And I said, well, what? And she goes, well, the one you gave me before got flooded and it's ruined. I need this. And she's standing in the kitchen in her underwear and a Gita, and her husband comes around the corner, and he goes, what is, he just woke up, he goes, what is that, a love story? And she takes it, she goes, Jeff, it's the Bhagavad Gita. And he goes, oh. And I was just thinking, Prabhupada did all of this. Prabhupada made these yogis and these vegans and these vegetarians, all of this new age stuff all came from Prabhupada. And when you see that, that just made me, and I gave him a few other books too, because yeah, somebody wants a book, that's amazing to me, because I meet people every day that they look at, oh, I won't read it. I go, oh, yeah, maybe you will, and I won't read it. I give it to a friend. You know what I mean? I'm always trying, oh, please, just take it. Just don't. This is your chance here. It's a portal. Vaish was telling me last night that the Vrindavan here in this world, on this planet, is the only portal that you can get out. Even demigods have to wait and wait and wait. There's details that I can't remember because I have terrible memory, but it just amazed me. He said, Div, how fortunate are we just to be here on this planet at this time in the golden Kali Yuga with the portal to Goloka Vrindavan? And it just makes you feel just like that story that we heard from Sukada. I had that confirmed last night about the sannyasi who was dying, and he said, oh, Prabhupada, you're here. I don't know about you, but that made me feel a lot better. I mean, because there's so much stuff in life, and you don't know when it's going to happen. Who knows when we're going to die? You might be sitting at a restaurant choking on a piece of bread. Next thing you know, you're dead, you know? I mean, what are you going to do? You're at the next body. You know, they're like, hey, we saw you. We know what you did. There's a witness. You're busted, you know? You don't get what you want. You get what you deserve. And that's exactly what happens. So how urgent is it that we go out and we go, excuse me, Mr. Jiva, going to hell. Here's prasadam. Here's the holy name. Here's the book. How urgent is it? Because we don't know who's going to die. The baby might die today. Prabhupada said, who knows who's close to death? I do have a little update on Bear. My little friend up there, he's a little French bulldog. And he runs the house. He's got his own car. He's too lazy to go on walks, so you have to drive him in his own smart car. Anyway, Bear is cool. He forgave me. But the parents of Bear, the dog-worshipping Egypts, they're still mad at me because I lit a piece of incense in their house 3 years ago. They got 9,600 square feet. I mean, it's a huge mansion right on the water, a lot of air. I lit a piece of incense on the porch of their house. Of course, then I put a book on their bookshelf. People get it, you know what I mean? I offended their dog, and I lit incense. I said, does Bear go in the room? And Kathy said, yeah, Bear goes back in his room, but they're still mad at me because you lit incense. These people eat meat. They cook dead animals in their kitchen, and the whole place stinks. You light a piece of incense on the porch. Ah, can't take it. It's like Nafi. Prabhupada tells the story. They had a temple in Rangoon. And they make this, everybody has a pot outside their house where they put dead animals in. Great idea. Who thought of that? That is a dead animal. Well, put it in the pot at my door. Yeah, that's auspicious. So they put it in the pot and they cover it, and any dead rat, mouse, bug, whatever the hell they find, they put it in there and they let it just ferment, whatever. Then after some years, they strain it and they have a drink. And then once in a year, Prabhupada said, anyway, so Prabhupada said, whenever they open it to put the dead animal in, the whole neighborhood smells like, you can imagine what it's, I can't, what is that? So, but Prabhupada said, they were frying puris and ghee at the temple, and the neighbor's like, huh, what's that smell? I can't take it. Puris and ghee. But Prabhupada said, but that nafi, Oh, very nice. Imagine drinking that stuff. Whatever. People. Just like when my aunt, who almost died, as soon as she got her breath back, they said, "You want a glass of wine?" I got great thinking. And she doesn't drink. So she said, "I'll have a glass of wine." She took two sips out of the wine. I thought I was going to kill her. But then she just went right back to her crab cakes. Like nothing ever happened. You know, it's like people live in this world. They're so dull that they don't even, you know, I mean, really. I mean, it perks people's ears up when somebody starts dying at the dinner table. You know, you should have seen the other people in the restaurant. The horror looks on their face. They didn't think it might be them next. They might be choking next. And a devotee said, "It would have been better if she would have just left her body. She could have got out of that old body and got a new body." But whatever. Anyway, so as Prabhupada's followers and as Vaishnavas and as civilized human beings, actually, if you're a civilized human being, that means you care about somebody's suffering. When you see somebody suffering, you go, "I'm sorry, how can I help you?" So Prabhupada said, if you don't know what to do, and I heard him say this, he said, think, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? And yesterday when I was out on Sangirtan, I don't know what was going on, but it was just one of those days where you approach people and everybody, "No, no, no," just negative. And I'm like, I'm getting chidrakta. When they say no and you preach, Bhakti Sananda said you get spiritual blood for your spiritual body. And man, yesterday I got a transfusion. I was Keith Richards out there. I felt like I was completely transfused because the first half hour, everybody said no. Not only no, they were like, "No, and why are you doing this?" I was about ready to go, "You know, Lord, I've tried. I'm going down the road to another place because this is just negative town here." And I saw this couple, and they were Vietnamese. And I'm like, wow, they're not Americans. I'm going. Because Americans are, well, anyway, if you've sold things to people for 45 years, and you have a choice of people coming to sell to, you see an American, and you see anybody but an American, you're going for the anybody. Because Americans are very puffed up, and they know everything, and what are you doing here, and get out of here, and I'm going to call the police, and I got a new phone, and I'm going to... This is the attitude of the American. Bunch of Egypts. But we gotta help us. I mean, I'm one of them. I'm the biggest Egypt here. So I go up to this nice, they're so nice, they're Asian and they're not aggressive and they're kinda humble. And I just went up to him and I was so frustrated, I just handed her the book. And I said, "Here's a book on yoga, it talks about inner peace." She said, "Oh, thank you." And I said, "Where are you from?" She said, "Vietnam." And I said, "Saigon, Da Nang," and she told me where she was from. I said, "Come, Mom." And she said, "Oh." And I said, she said, "What do I do?" I was like, "Wow, this is different." I said, "You just give a donation." She said, "Oh, I know donation. I've given donation." So she opens her wallet and she gives me $10. And she says, "Is $10 enough?" And I said, "That's a good start." But they were so nice, so completely different than the other 40 or 50 people that I had just approached, and they were like, "Get away from here." And then I thought, okay, there's hope. And I prayed a little bit, and then I'm always out there thinking, Nitai and Haridas go down the street, and what do? They chase them down the street, they throw things at them, get them. So I'm thinking, well, if that's what they do, the Lord Nityananda and Haridas, who the hell am I? You know, I'm just me. So if somebody comes up and goes, "Get out of here, you shouldn't be here." I'm like, "You're right, I shouldn't be, but there's a miracle going on, and Lord Chaitanya needs somebody to sell these books, and damn it, I'm doing it." So, there was one more thing I wanted to say. Oh yeah, this is another nice thing. Bhaktivinoda's song, Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolore Sovai, love that song. Bhaktivinoda says, this song is for patrolling around town. I was thinking that yesterday, because Vaish was telling me about this. For patrolling around town to expose the Nam to all the others. So I was in the parking lots in the mall yesterday thinking I'm patrolling around the mall broadcasting the nectar of the holy name. This is a funny story that Peter Burwash in L.A. many, many, many years ago when he was a new devotee. You know Peter Burwash, the professional tennis player? Nice devotee. He gave a donation. A big donation back then wasn't huge, but it was big. And he gave it for a specific thing. And a few days later, he found out that that cash had been used for something else, another bona fide, legitimate program. But because he had given it in the name of whatever it was, and it had gone to something else, he was mad. And Prabhupada was there, so he went to Prabhupada. And he told him the story. Prabhupada laughed and said, "Don't be upset with the instrument of your karma." I love that. Don't be upset. You know, if somebody hits you in the head with a bat, you go, "Hey!" Well, don't be upset with the instrument of your karma. You deserve that, or it wouldn't have happened. And Peter was so, oh, you know, it just made him feel like, oh, that's okay. It's not, you know, because we have this idea that we're so important and everything that we think or say is, we're just insignificant little specks. The only hope is that we get in the dust of the lotus feet of Prabhupada. Because if the little speck is in the right dust, then he can be liberated and go back to God. And then while we're here, we should try our best to help the others. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? So I suggest that you take a few books and throw them in your car. Little books. Inexpensive. Little. And whenever you do something, when you go to Publix or when you get gas or whatever it is, there's somebody there. Just hand it to them. This happened to me at the gas station the other day, and there was a kid standing there smoking a cigarette. And I said, "Hey," and I handed him the Easy Journey. Probably there's a yogi. And he looks at it and he goes, "Wow." He's got the cigarette one in the book and he goes, "Wow, that's transcendental, man." It's like a 19-year-old kid. But I took the trouble to hand him the book. And it wasn't hard. He was there, I was there, I'm getting gas, he's standing there, and I go, "Here. How hard is that? It's like 40 cents. Here. Do that. Put a stack of books in your car, and whenever you see somebody, hand him a book." I did that the other day in Orlando. Now the guy, he works at the toll booth, and every time he sees me, because there's 8 booths, and you don't know who's in what, and I always try to see him, but I was several away from him the other day. And he leans out his booth and goes, "Hare Krishna!" You know, it's just because I handed him something. It was nothing to me. I do it all the time. That's all I do. I'm a one-trick pony. I read the books, I distribute the books, and then I come back in the morning, I chant, and I think I'm going to sell books tonight. I mean, that's all I do. I mean, that's all. I mean, luckily, that's all you need to do. But if you can be involved on any level, how do I do? How do I do? How can I do? How can I do? Krishna makes arrangements for us. Anyway, if anybody has anything to add, now's the time. I'd love to hear something. Danudar.
Daneshwar. Daneshwar. Hare Krishna.
It's close.
So, thank you. First time I've heard you speak. It's very entertaining and enlightening. So, thank you. You're saying how you're feeling Prabhupada's always with you. So I want to relate a anecdote about that. You know, I was a new devotee, and they instructed how to offer food. They say you take your food, you put it in front of a picture of Prabhupada, and say these prayers. And so I said, "Well, how can Prabhupada be in all these pictures to accept this offering? Maybe put it in front of a picture of Krishna, I can understand that." And the temple president, Amarendra, he said, "Oh, that's a nice question. Why don't you write to Prabhupada and ask him about that?" So I did. And Prabhupada's reply was really wonderful. Prabhupada replied, "The spiritual master is present wherever the disciple is sincerely trying to follow his instructions. This is possible by the mercy of Krishna. In all of your devotional sentiments and in all of your attempts to serve me, I am with you just as my Guru Maharaj is with me. Remember this always."
Wow. Thank you. I love that. Yeah, remember that. You got no worries. Nothing to worry about. We have nothing to worry about. Ragatmika? Prabhu?
Shabu?
And the pew.
I just want to stand up for the Americans. That would be right.
I believe I'm saving them all. I don't discriminate. It's just if I see an American, I see anybody else but American. I'm sorry, Mr. American. I'm going there first. I got experience. This isn't my first.
Oh, I guess I'm I'm standing in one spot with the table. So whatever comes by is what I take. But like yesterday, it was a guy who had Notre Dame on him. So I said, oh, my brother was a football player at Notre Dame. And he stopped, that stopped him at least. And it turns out he's a cardiologist and he's a vegetarian. And I gave him Life Comes From Life, and then he gave $20, and I said, he wanted some change, but I couldn't get the change out of the box, you know. So I said, well, here, let me give you this to compensate, the Bhagavad Gita, and he was so, like, excited, you know. So there was building up in the past. He became a vegetarian, he was heard of Krishna, you know. So people in America, I mean, you know, they've had exposure, so.
Yay,
Krishna. Anyway.
Make America Krishna conscious. Yeah. Raghavika, where was that book table?
The DMV, yeah. Right here against it. I got permission to have a table at the DMV.
Awesome. Anytime you want.
Well, you have to go through
Srivrindavan.
Yeah,
but I'm just.
Wow.
Give
credit to Srivrindavan. Srivrindavan is so kind and selfless. She goes out there and puts the table and brings the books out for me. I just have to show up and be there for a couple hours, and she'll come and take the table and the books down.
Wow.
Is that sweet?
Srivrindavan.
All glories to Srivrindavan. If someone wants to do that DMV, then they have to go through Srivrindavan. Okay.
It's the fourth principle of discernment.
There's some guidelines of how to do it over there. Otherwise,
it's so nice, though, because of the endeavor. The Iha was there, Krishna rewarded it. And that's been my problem ever since the airport situation changed, is that you try to find a place to go where they don't chase you down the street. Sukada?
This is very short. When I heard you say the word Dal, I remember with Prabhupada, he picked a rose, and then he smelled it, took a deep breath, and said something like, and they say there is no God. How dull.
Can't appreciate anything. Nafi, they like Nafi. Mahatma Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Just a correction.
Uh-oh.
Lord Chaitanya doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. He allows to take credit for our pasita. So if he's not us, it's going to be someone else. And the other thing is...
Go ahead.
And the other thing is, like you, I have my book back everywhere. No,
I know you do. You're a Sangha.
But about 10 cases of books sometimes in the car. So I was in Daytona trying to arrange sponsors and vendors for the Daytona Beach Rupa Yatra Festival. So while I was doing that, I had my books with me. And 1 hour before this event, these Indians came to me, the ones that were sponsoring the hotel room. They came to me and said, would you like to come to an international pray day? I said, yes, of course. So it was going to be in the Catholic Our Lady of Lourdes Church. So I said, yes, of course, I'll go change and, you know, get ready. So I did change nicely, and I didn't know what to bring, what to do. They said they were going to be saying the prayer, and we'll be there 20 minutes to practice. So I thought, well, maybe they're going to chant. So I wasn't sure. So I just grabbed a poster that I have from this Mataji that has a beautiful CD, and it's called Chant for Peace, and it has Prabhupada in the middle. So I grabbed that poster because it's laminated, so I thought it's nice looking. And they got me into the room to practice how we're going to come out and everything, and it turned out that they put me right in the middle of everybody. So it was the Muslim, the Christians, the Catholic, all the Christian types, Unitarian, Pentecostal, you know, all kinds. So they had me in the middle, and Krishna's mercy, we go in the church, and and I'm in the middle with the poster. So everybody's saying the prayer, please help the addiction people that have addiction to drugs and this and that. Please help the poor. Please help the, you know, handicapped. I mean, they all say the prayer. I was not prepared, although I've been in the movement for 30 years, I should be prepared. But when I got on the microphone, they had introduced me, and we do have a Hare Krishna also. So when I got to the microphone, I said, the Hare Krishna devotees have a prayer. And the prayer, we only have a few seconds, few minutes to say, you know, the prayer. So I thought at least they could hear the Mahamantra. So I said, the Hare Krishna people have this prayer, you know, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So I said the prayer. And this is because we believe that if we water the root, then everything is taken care of. And this prayer has the names of the Lord. You know, explain a little bit about it. So that was it. That was my intervention or my whatever, which I thought, well, Prabhupada, you know, I could have done better, because when the Muslim guy came in, he started, you know, chanting so nicely, and I thought, I could have chanted, and I did too, you know. Of course, I didn't have a good voice, but. So at least I introduced the holy name, the mantra, and I thought, okay, it was nothing, Prabhupada, but thank you for allowing me to be here. At the end, everybody was leaving, and we had a case of Gitas. So everybody got a Gita, and they accepted it nicely. Everybody, Muslim, Sikh, there was a Sikh, you know, Indian, Jain group also. Everybody. And then the Catholic church, the Catholic priest, he said to me, Hare Krishna! Just like that, very clearly. I said, oh, Hare Krishna, Father. You also get a Gita, so I gave him a Gita. A few days later, there is some more, not so much about the story, but the main point is that few days later, I decided to take halava from the temple to the priest, because he was so nice, you know. So I took him a bucket, a little container of halava, and I left it in the office, and I said, this is for Father Philip. And they say, oh, thank you very much. And I delivered two posters for the Ratha Yatra. That night, Father Philip calls me. Huh. And he says, Mahatma, Hare Krishna. Everything's so clear, you know, like he's speaking our language. Hare Krishna, thank you so much for the halava. He knew it was halava. And I said, oh, well, Father, I am so glad. It's too late for you. It's 9 o'clock. You're calling me. And he said, yeah, but I didn't want to miss this opportunity to thank you, because you brought me so many memories from when I was young and I was eating at the U.S. campus.
Evil.
So, yeah, we have to do it, because what you tell has already done it. It's already done it. We just have to go out and do a little bit. Whatever. I mean, who told me to bring halava? I just had to bring the posters. But Krishna is guiding us.
See, it just became easier, you guys. It's all been done. Now there's no excuse.
excuse me. Talk about an amazing story. I'm a cab driver, so I carry all these pamphlets, this hundreds of pamphlets in my cab. So I get a call. I like to work the night shift for some reason. But anyway, so I get a call, and they say, okay, pick up a lady at the North Florida Regional Hospital emergency room. So I go over there, and the lady, she looks to be about 80, 90 years old. Usually I have to go in and find the people or something like that, but she just standing outside waving. And so she gets in the cab, and she says, they wanted to keep me, but I'm leaving. So I said, okay. So I said, so what's your destination? So she gives me the address and everything,
And so anyway, he says, I'm starving. Can you recommend a restaurant? So he was right over there by the Oaks Mall. So I was like, well, no restaurant. So she said, oh, there's a McDonald's. There's a Burger King. So she said, would you take me to McDonald's? So I said, okay. So we go over there, and we go to the drive-in. So she, now this woman is like 85, you know. So she orders this really greasy hamburger with bacon and all this stuff. It costs $7, you know. So anyway, so I give flowers to anyone. So and usually if customers want me to go to the drive-in, I roll the window down, let them just pay for it and everything. But in this case, she was sitting on the wrong side. So she paid for it, and I give her the clerk at the cashier, I give her a flyer, and I was thinking all the same time. I was like, wow, Lord Chaitanya's mission is even going into McDonald's now, you know. And so anyway, so then we pick up the food at the last window, and so the people, they were very in a good mood and everything. So I gave them a flyer. They would say, thank you very much. So then the lady, she's in the back of the cab, and she starts eating this stuff, and she's complaining, oh, this stuff is nothing but grease and bacon and all this. And I mean, this woman just came from the hospital. She was, you know, so anyway, she's back there eating. I'm looking back there a little bit. I was like, wow, how can she eat that stuff? So then, make a long story short, when she gets to her final destination, I give her a flyer, and I was thinking that, you know, when he was talking about, you know, we can leave our body in any minute, you know. And well, it was fortunate she was able to get a flyer, and you know, hopefully she'll stop going to McDonald's.
Just keep doing it. That's how you got to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's 7 billion people on the planet. I don't think they've all gotten a book. So you really got to keep doing it. It's important.
Right.
It really is. Sukha, did you have something else?
I was just going to confirm what Malcolm said because
give it to Sukha. Sukha is ecstatic. Mother Sukhita! I love Sukhita.
I mean, that's watching, I came to someone who I take care of when he's in town. Maybe he's in Sanford Town, maybe when so he would always say, because sometimes it was just hard to get in a van for one reason or another. He used to say, if you can just get yourself in a van, he said the same thing. It's everything to bring down. It's all the books that have been distributed. The Catholic pulpit said that too. There's so many temples, there's so many books, it's just time to separate us. So he would say, it's all been done, just a matter of who's going to get the credit. If you don't go out there and get it, then somebody else will. So that felt really inspiring to hear that. You know, like, not like we're the doers, we're just going out there and giving an opportunity and giving an opportunity.
Just to be involved in the seva. Krishna's very pleased. That tape I was listening to last night from Montreal, Prabhupada was saying that if you practice yoga and if you improve yourself, that's very good. But if you take that and you give it to others, so this is, I want to leave you with this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his followers, one must act for the benefit of all living beings. For a devotee, this work is the storehouse of happiness in the present life and in the next. And I remember when, in 1973 in the airport, they sent this devotee out to sell books, and she'd never done it before, and we found her in the phone booth crying. And they're like, well, we looked around, there was a couple of brahmacharis, and there was me, and they were like, well, somebody's got it. So I went over and preached to her, and I told her, I said, just like Arjuna in the battlefield, Krishna already had everything taken care of. Arjuna just had to surrender to the process. And when I told her that, she got up and started distributing books. And it was just, it's like you said, because it takes the burden off of you. It's not, the hardest thing is to get up and go and say, now I'm going. That's the hardest part. Once you get out there and you interact with Jeeva, at least for me, once I'm out there, I like it. I mean, it's an adventure.
I never know who's going to take a swing at me or who's going to give me $20 or who's going to like it. It's just, to me, I love it because I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And when I'm out there, I feel happy. I like doing it. Anyway, thanks for listening, Prabhus.
Sarva Vaishnava Prabhupada Namaskar Ite Aparada Kichu Nahuka Amar Haribo
Jai Prabhupada.